All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all again this morning. Right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. Help us be faithful to you and bring glory to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to I think we'll just begin in Proverbs. Probably jump around just a little bit this morning, but we'll start here in Proverbs. Chapter 1. Just want to take a verse here in verse 7. This verse, there are, I don't know how many times it's in the Bible, but it's in there a lot. It's in there several times, especially in these books of Proverbs, the Book of Wisdom. Just several times. This thought is, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is wisdom. But when we think about wisdom, you know, we just have all kinds of things. A lot of times we just think smart people are wise. Or sometimes we just have all kinds of ideas about wisdom, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, we see in the world today, you know, sometimes we think, like we said, smart people, or we associate that with wisdom. Sometimes we think of geniuses as wisdom, but that's not what wisdom is. I guess the heart, I'll just start really with the heart of what my thought is sometimes you see people today that are in power or in position, and we think that they are, you know, they've got there somehow, they're wise. And so a lot of times we see people that are even very evil that we would consider wise because of their position. You know, they've got there somehow. They've manipulated things, and they've got there. And then sometimes we see people in those positions, and they just do some really dumb things. And so I guess what drove my thought this morning is the idea of wisdom. The very beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. It doesn't really matter how smart we think we are or how powerful we may become. If there's no fear of God, there is no wisdom in what people are doing. There's people that... people who are evil or who reject God, there is no wisdom there. They're not really wise people. They may be smart in what they do. They may be very conniving. And that may appear wise for a moment. It might gain them power. It might, they might be able to manipulate themselves or manipulate circumstances, which in itself is a genius, but it isn't wisdom. It's not, there's a lot of people that are in power that are very evil. And you know, we look at them sometimes and we think, well, they're pretty smart. And then they just do something completely stupid. And my thought is just the very idea to reject God is you eliminate yourself from godly wisdom, from wisdom. And so there's people that may look successful, but if they've rejected God or they're just, it's in the world, it's not wise. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, we see a lot of people that, I guess when I analyze fear, what it means to fear God, you know, I know a lot of people that are afraid of God. And they act very religiously. They're very strict in the religion. And yet, they don't have wisdom. They just see a set of rules. They just go down through the list. But whenever it comes down to really making right decisions, sometimes they just make dumb ones, it seems like. They just don't really have that light from God in which wisdom exists. They may have a lot of knowledge and can explain all things the Bible talks about. And that's where that love and that wisdom, they're mysterious things. But you can have, in Corinthians it talks about being able to know all things and explain all things and talk with the tongues of angels. But yet without love, there's nothing. And love and wisdom are things that are real, tangible things that come from God. You can have genius. You can have intelligence. You can have knowledge. All of those things God has given to humans, but and still not have wisdom. And, you know, we like to break wisdom down as just someone that has knowledge and being able to apply it. But yet, that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is a gift from God. And as we, you know, as we think about faith and salvation, and a lot of times and getting back to the fear of God, that faith and that wisdom that comes from God has to be given to a vessel that's willing to receive it. And so, you know, the wise person might not be a very smart person. You might not be a very intelligent person. And that's what we always think. We associate those together, but it doesn't take grand intelligence as man sees it to be a wise person with God. It doesn't need grand knowledge or great knowledge, knowing all things, to be a wise person with God. In fact, the Bible says that God takes delight in confounding the wisdom of the world. It's easy for him to do. Someone that thinks they're so wise and so smart and so intelligent, and he just can take it and just turn it all upside down right on them. And we see that happening. So this wisdom is directly associated with faith. And a fear of God, a right fear of God. Like I said, not just being afraid of God. So many people are scared to death of God. And so they act right or try to. But that's not what, that's not how wisdom comes. Wisdom is someone who actually trusts God and loves Him. You know, and part of that fear of God is being able to listen. You know, oftentimes in these Proverbs and these wise books that they talk about God's wisdom, they're often, it says, "My son, hear my advice." And we can all take that into ourselves. You know, we get a little bit smart. We get a little bit of wisdom. We get a little bit of knowledge. And we quit listening to anybody else. We don't want to hear anything from anybody else. You know, anybody tries to counsel us, we put up a wall and, you know, I don't have to listen to anybody. I'm smart. I've got this all figured out. I don't have to listen to somebody. That is the opposite of doing all of these books that teach us about wisdom. That is the exact opposite attitude that would actually lead us to wisdom. How often the Bible tells us about people who are wise in their own conceits, or wise in their own understanding. They've got it figured out. And that's one of the dangers of someone getting a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of information. We've just got it figured out, and I don't have to listen to anybody else. Now, I think one of the things that went from the very beginning, whenever I started following the Lord, I sought out somebody to find advice from. I searched high and low all over the world. Everyone I come in contact with, I wanted to learn something from them. You know, that is an attitude that not very many people have. They've learned everything they want to and need to, so they just don't need any advice anymore. And get ruffled or get all offended if someone actually tries to share something into their life or speak into their life. That is the opposite of this wisdom that comes from God. That's the opposite. And it's a lot of times people that are very religious and seem very knowledgeable and seem very wise. And you try to speak something into their life and bristle up. We're just not going to hear that. You try to correct them a little bit, or you try to share some information with them. They're just not going to hear it. You know, it's just, that's the opposite of how you gain wisdom. You're stuck right where you're at when you get that way. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You know, and I'm not saying, well, you just got to listen to everybody, but at least listen. I don't know how many times, you know, whenever someone, there's an issue, and someone has a problem with something like that I do, I take it seriously. I've been accused of things a lot. And whenever someone says something to me, I believe it. Even when I know there's not anything to it. I've said before, you know, I used to be accused of things, and maybe two or three days later I would remember, or I'd just think about it, be thinking about it, be worried about it. And then just realize that, wait a minute, that is not at all what happened. That's not what I've been doing. I mean, people have, you know, whenever someone talks to me, I'm going to go, I'll listen to them and hear what they're trying to say. The problem comes a lot of times is whenever I don't just jump into whatever they say is the answer or the right answer. And so right away, he won't listen to anybody. No, I am listening. I hear you. Just because I don't want to jump right into your solution doesn't mean anything. That's your problem. That's a lot of times that's, you know, we've talked about a leader will talk to somebody and or how you give someone advice and then get offended because they won't take it. That's the person giving the advice's problem. You know, that's one of the hard things about being able to see things or being able to talk to people, is being able to share with them and then have them reject your advice and you still be able to love them and be patient with them until maybe they do see it one of these days. That's where long suffering, that's where we would relate it to how Jesus, you know, how many times did he say, "Oh, ye of little faith"? He knew they couldn't see it, and yet he still was patient with them and talked to them and told them, gave them the opportunity. Sometimes just didn't say anything else until they learned what he had to offer, what he had to show. Being, you know, a lot of times we've said, we've had a message before that Jesus is a shepherd, not a sheepdog. A sheepdog forces the sheep to go where he wants them to go. He bites them and corrects them and growls at them and sometimes barks and just so he can scare the sheep into the place where he wants them to be. If you're being growled at and barked at and bit, there's probably something a little bit wrong. And if you're being forced into something, Jesus spoke and then he walked. He led his sheep. The sheep knew his voice and they followed him. He wasn't out there trying to correct them. So much religion is full of a bunch of sheepdogs trying to corral their sheep and keep them corralled. That's where you get all the rules, and that's where, because people are just not what they're supposed to be, so I better bite them and correct them and growl at them and get them all in line here. I don't know how many times the Bible talks about where, I just think of Elijah, and he told Elisha to follow him. And Elisha said, "Well, I've got to go do something first." And Elijah, you know, I could just see him, Elijah just shrugging his shoulders. "Yeah, go do whatever you need to do." And then took off and went on. He went and hurried, and then he caught up with him. And over again, Jesus is the same way. He tells people what they need to do and then walks. "Follow me," he said. And some of them were stood thinking about it, and some just rose up and followed him. He's a shepherd. And I think that's where how we find this wisdom, is being able to just hear things. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We want wisdom. You know, evil people, the very idea of someone rejecting God is a stupid thing, no matter how smart they might be. Wisdom is the beginning. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And it doesn't matter how smart a person is, if they've rejected God, they're a fool. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Verse 2 begins, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, a person that has troubles and trials, we look at them a lot of times and we think, well, they're just not very smart, or we don't look at that person as having wisdom. We just look at them as having trouble. And it's usually because something they've done that was pretty dumb or something and just got them in all this trouble. It's their own fault. But this is the person that God is talking about here. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter trials." Like I said, we look at the person with trials and troubles and sometimes we think, well, they must not be very smart. We just don't consider that a smart person. You know, we see somebody that's just got everything going on and everything's going right and everything's just, well, they must be pretty sharp. They must be pretty smart. "But consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." You see, a lot of times we want things, but we don't want to ask. We're just too proud to ask for any help. That's one of the things, we don't want help. We want to do it ourselves. We want to take care of it ourselves. How many times you try to help your child do something, and he just says, "No, I want to do it myself." Instead of just saying, "Okay, show me again and I'll watch you." You know, that's the result that ought to, you know, when we try to step in and help, and I realize that, you know, people have to do things on their own. They have to figure it on their own. But whenever you offer some help to someone and they say, "No, I'm going to do it on my own." Okay. And they struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And finally, maybe they get it. Maybe they don't. But they've missed something. You know, and you want them to be able to stand on their own. I don't know. The best way I've learned is just to watch somebody do something for a while. You know, that's how an apprentice ought to do it. It's not just jump in and start trying to do it. But if you'll just watch how things are done for just a little bit, and then you start coordinating things, that you can learn some stuff. But you try to offer someone help and they just, "No, I don't want it. I want to do it on my own." All I'm trying to do is show you. No, I want to do it. Because we want to be smart to figure it out on our own. You see, humility and wisdom are related to each other. They're very closely tied together. And I'm not talking about, "Oh, you know, I can't do anything. No, I'm just helpless. That's not humility. That's a false pride, is what that is. Humility is being able just to listen And you might be able to use what you hear sometimes. Sometimes you're not. But you've heard it. Sometimes it might not sound right. And then 5 years later, wait a minute, it sounds right. But you heard it. Just the humility of being able to accept some help. And that's the reality of salvation, is realizing that I cannot break Satan's power on my own. The things that he has and control of my life in, I can't do anything about that because he's stronger than I am. And we need help. And that's one of the hardest things for a human being, to actually get to the place where they need help. And not just to become a beggar and just have somebody do everything for us. That just seems to be, you got people that need help and they're helpless and just waiting for someone to hand them a handout. And then on the other side of that, it's someone that will not take any help. And if we will not take any help, there is no God for us in that position. We're locking ourselves into lostness in Satan's grip. Just like the person that's just, I'm helpless, and you just got to put them on welfare. And that's where a lot of Christians are. They're on both sides of this. A lot of people who claim to be Christians are just like welfare Christians. Jesus did it all. I can't do nothing. I'm helpless. Just feed me. Put a straw in my mouth because I can't even hold the straw up to my mouth. That's the welfare type of Christianity. And then you got the other hand that I can just do it all by myself. Get out of my way. I don't need any help. Neither one of them get to that fear of God level. We've got to get to the place where we realize I can't do this on my own. I can't set myself free from anything. It's only the one verse we talked about, that the Lord is my only comfort. That's something that's real, that the Lord is our comfort. That he doesn't just put us on welfare, but he gives us the courage and the strength to rest on him. And that's when we have that faith, where it's him that sets us free and him that gives us power, him that gives us wisdom. See, they're all related. All things from God come the same way. It's when we're an empty vessel, not a helpless one, but not a proud, arrogant one either. When we've exhausted all of the things that we've tried to fix our own problems ourselves, and we finally just can get to the place where we can find our comfort in the Lord, he sends that power. He sends that wisdom. He sends that strength. And it comes from him. It goes on here, it says, but he must ask in faith without doubting. And that's where this is coming from. See, it all revolves around what faith is. Responding to God. We get excited for a while, and then we get cooled off a while, and we're just like, you know, things come wrong and things go bad and things to worry about, things to trouble about, and storms, and we're just tossed to and fro, up a while, down a while, up a while, down a while, just over and over again. When our comfort's truly in the Lord, we can be a rock. We don't have to be tossed about by all the things that come about us. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I just want to distinguish again the idea of genius or even common sense is not necessarily wisdom. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that just can see what the world is doing, and it just takes a little bit of common sense to be able to see what's going on. And it takes a decent person to do that, to be able to see the common sense. You know, even in the how the world paralyzed or runs parallel with the spiritual things. You know, you get into the worldly things, and the, you know, there's people that just have common sense, and they usually wind up becoming very powerful and successful just because they just use a little bit of common sense. Well, we can have that common sense and still not have this godly wisdom that he's talking about. The genius, you know, a lot of times we think a genius is figuring out all these, but real genius is just seeing what the very simple things that are right in front of our faces. We think of geniuses as being the smart people. I've said it a bunch, you know. The genius, a lot of times there's people that just have all this knowledge and all this information in their heads, and they fancy themselves as geniuses because they can figure things out or figure puzzles out. And then, like I said, a lot of times the smartest person in the room isn't always the genius. Seek wisdom. That wisdom which comes from above. That's my thought, that it is closely related with real faith. You know, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. That's, you know, whenever we look at the world, we look at lives, we look at our souls, we look at eternity, and then we look at wisdom. You know, all the things the world offers are going to be gone. And it's only those things that have their hope and have their root in God that's going to survive. And to be able to see through all the other stuff takes a vision, it takes wisdom to be able to see what's important and what's not, and to have our hope in what's important. Because no matter how well it functions in this world, when this world ends, and it ends, it will have proven to be not very wise at all. Kevin, there's a way. Whenever we talked about this during the week, what was the phrase there? How did we phrase that? I don't remember. Just the main point of one of the things that really sparked the thought of this was, and I just cannot get it out right now. People that were evil people appearing to be wise, but without God, there is no wisdom. I mean, if you want wisdom, it's got to start with God. The wise people in the world without God are just completely ignorant. I don't remember how. It was a little phrase. We had a, you remember it? Oh boy. Okay. Well, we'll have to come up with that a little bit later, but I didn't write it down. I don't do that a lot of times. But anyway, we got the idea, but there's a way to put it in one sentence, and that's escaping us right now. So anyway, well, God bless y'all. If you have anything you'd like to share.
When you're dealing with somebody, I mean, I guess it would be the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. If they don't have any kind of integrity, no matter how you try to approach that person, how you try to explain things to that person, you just cannot.
Right.
I have somebody that used to be a chaplain in the military, and, you know, they want to go around and they want to pray for the people with cancer, and, you know, and all these are good things, but then they'll spend 3/4 of the day trying to hide so they don't have to do their job. And we're just like, I really wish you would just do your job and not, you know, and no matter how you try to explain it to the person, they're entitled. And you're wrong. And you can't seem to get the light to turn on, you know, no matter how hard. And then you got other people who the world would consider roughnecks, real, real rough people, but they wouldn't think of hiding for 3/4 of the day not doing their job, you know? And you're just like, I just don't think God sees things. Well, I know God doesn't see the things the way that we look at things. You know, I got other people who, like you said, they had a real bad traumatic brain injury, and this person works themselves to death all day long, and they're just, you know, determined to do a good job. And you're just like, you know, how does God look at these people? You know, I mean, the guy who's the most simplest out of them all is probably the one who has the most, because, I mean, it would just drive him crazy to go home and not have done the best that he could have done. And you get the person who can quote the Bible to you from front to the back, and then hide the closet after they have not done their job. You're just like, wow, you know? And the other guy probably couldn't even read the Bible and really understand it to, you know, a very in-depth degree, you know? So it's just very, I mean, like you said, the fear of the God, just, that's where it begins. If you don't have that, that's why people can do the things that they're doing now. I mean, you know, mixing DNA and doing this and doing that. They're geniuses, but, you know, somewhere along the line, they think that this is a good idea. Where it takes somebody else, just a real common person, looking at them and like, you don't want to do that. That's going to open the door to something that we can't close. What are you thinking? But they don't have that key, you know?
Amen to the message. I've been told from my family and different people that I make decisions that put myself where I'm at, and I do take responsibility of some of the things of not catching the warning sign and trying to change my life a little bit. But I also, in my mind, accepted this is what I was. I knew I was going to end up having problems. Mine was to work hard, and stuff does happen. And But I really appreciate the message sharing that sometimes we get put in places because God can't help us.
Praise the Lord.
I think it's neat that we all have access to God's word.
Amen.
Sometimes we look for, we think of wisdom coming in big, and really packages that are really set apart from daily life, and really it cannot just be one little sentence or phrase that somebody offers us, and you don't want that. But if this seems strange, but then later on you think of it and you think, well, there's the answer.
You were talking about how, you know, different people receive instruction, you know, and here in Proverbs 9 it says, do not reprove evil men so they may not hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. That's just, you know, if we can just open ourselves to somebody wise enough, go a long way.
And I think a lot of people read that and they think of evil as being this really bad person, but that's not what they're, you know, I think sometimes we misconstrue evil. It's just a person who doesn't love God.
So one day during the week we were talking at work with
Model Harris saying you belong down at the other rally because they said Jesus is Lord.
No, it was just summarizing. You remember I was talking to kind of Hans and Floyd, I think. I don't know, I just had it in one neat little sentence, so just kind of summed it all up there. But anyway, well, it'll come sometime. The thought was, is the no matter how smart someone might appear, you know, or how, if rejecting God, there you have no wisdom without God. There is no wisdom without God. And it's whatever the world offers or throws at you, you know, as smart as it may seem, if it isn't from God, it's not wisdom. It's just that's the heart of the thought, and that's what I want to make sure we got out, but it's just, it doesn't matter. All wisdom comes from God. And, you know, God gives people intelligence, but all wisdom comes from God. And if we reject God and our thoughts or whatever, and no matter how, what we think we obtain, there's no wisdom in it. It just isn't there. So
sometimes we think Satan is wise, but really he's knowledgeable.
Exactly. Well, there is evil genius, but it's the genius is in their ability to connive and ability to betray, or to their ability to deceive. But that's not wisdom. It's maybe genius, maybe evil genius, but it's not wisdom. And there are a lot of evil people, evil geniuses that are able to control and manipulate. I mean, there's people today that you could hold an apple up in front of them and the person said, "This is an orange." And they have such an ability, people will believe them. And that's the time of the world we're headed into, that good will be evil, and evil will be good. We're right in the middle of that right now. And so that's where, that's why I'm, the importance of this, having this godly wisdom that can see through the genius of Satan and his minions to be able to hold up an apple and say, this is an orange, and everybody believe it. That's the world we're in right now. Good is evil and evil is good.
A genius could get real good at winning a game by cheating.
Yes. They're brilliant at deception. They're brilliant at deceiving. They're brilliant at cheating. And so there's a brilliance there, but it's not God. Anyway, God bless you all. We'll meet back this evening at 6 o'clock, Lord willing.
Speaking of apples, if you want to make applesauce, now's your chance. Got my cousin's orchard, brought back a whole load from him. If you wanted to give something for him, it would be $5 a bushel or something like that. I got a whole bunch of boxes around. Just load up out here, Golden Delicious and Pink Lady, and some Fuji and Honeycrisp to help yourself. I also have a singing at Mount Vernon and the Golden Delicious.
Okay. All right. Well, God bless you all. Part in peace.